ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Amen, amen, amen. So, let's go to our topic for today. It's just a word. And that word, speaking the same way, that's what that word means. And so there is no new revelation, as it were. Homologia. What is homologia? What is pastor up to? No. It's just speaking the same way. And you and I, we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. God created the world by words. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, he said, through faith we understand. So we need to come to that place of understanding. The world is challenged as we speak. I mean, you hear the news. You see things happen. And sometimes, it's the same mind that accommodates these things. We get overwhelmed. I mean, in the course of this week, I don't know how many of you saw that video, number one video in our own nation here, that people spent hours traveling from Abuja through Lokoja. Water everywhere. Houses are submerged as we speak. In the last week, in Thailand, there was a situation where someone just went into a pre-nursery and shot at their teacher, 8-month-old pregnant, shot kids who were sleeping, then went back home, shot himself, shot his wife, shot his son. Things are happening. And it's because we see these things, there is that tendency for us to be overwhelmed. And I believe that if God looks from down, he's seen things differently. That's why Isaiah 55 talks about it. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The days are evil. But he also says to us in his word, we must redeem the time. We must. Things are happening. Inflation is global. Things are happening. I spoke with someone, one of our friends in the UK, who they have a church. I spoke with him this week, and he was saying to me, I said, revival has come. He said, yes, but with his own challenges. He said, there are facilities in the UK at the moment is overstretched, that they have to help people to just, there are no accommodation is not enough. It used to be student visa for that individual, but now visa, wife, husband, kids. Some people are going with their parents just to be able to cover up. So the houses are not there. That's just the UK. If you get into other spaces, things are not the same way it used to be. And sometimes we get overwhelmed. Things happen to us, happen to our families. We get overwhelmed. And in the midst of what is happening, there is that tendency to speak negatively. And so this morning, this message, we just encourage you and I to be able to see things from the perspective of God. Can I have an amen this morning? So open your Bibles, please, with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We just speak a verse there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He said, let us hold fast our confession. That's what word homologia means. Our confession. It's very critical. Even though the world is challenged at this time, we are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9. We are called unto a fellowship. The new birth experience gives us an edge from what is normal to, or what is ordinary to extraordinary life. What is natural to a supernatural life. The Bible says God is faithful. We are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's our posture. We see things differently. You know, praying for our nation, that is the way out. I love what Pastor started with this morning by helping us to see from the perspective of God. God will always come true, not just because of the politician. He will come true because of the people. People that he has created in his own image and in his own likeness. God can't see the devil messed up our nation. God is depending on the individual believer that he has planted in the nation. So we have a duty to care, to pray for our country, to see the kingdom of God come, to see his will be done. There is something I just discovered this last week. I know about the woman, but I never, because of the controversy, but she's doing an amazing work. I just saw a video of her. How she's trained as a pharmacist, as a journalist, but how the impact of drug addiction in Nigeria is going to ruin generation if we are not careful. What NDLA is doing now is to curb the spread. In the northern part of our nation, the way people deal with codeine and all these other things, it's very alarming. Here in our own city, Molly, Ice, Colorado, I know them. But the woman is advocating now, don't touch it at all. He said, because even therapy, how many people can afford therapy? Wherever you find it, I mean, they put people on three-month therapy, 800,000 naira in a month, that's conservative bill, 2.4 in 3 months. And he said, everyone, she has the tendency to still relapse. And he said, the highest risk of it is that people start with Molly and all these things, Colorado, nobody smokes cigarettes anymore. The starting point is marijuana. But that the fringe for everyone is cocaine. And if you know, there are factories that are breeding it in Nigeria now. These things are overwhelming. But you say, God has called us. So we have a duty. We have a duty. The duty is to see things from God's perspective. We have a duty to ensure that people within our space don't touch any of these things. We have a duty to bring many to this fellowship that we are talking about. We are not believers just to resolve our own problems by ourselves. And then every other thing doesn't concern us. If we have a drug-ridden society, we are not exonerated from it. An average party in Lagos now, so don't chop cake anyhow in any party. It may be marijuana coated. Don't drink sweet anyhow, or don't lick sweet anyhow. Don't lick ice cream anyhow. If God is not going to order yourself, don't go. Iwakuwa may lead to irikuris. And irikuris may lead to atenuje. Atenuje may lead to something that you don't like. Let's get back to the message. The highest honor God has conferred upon us is to be a joint fellowshipper with God the Father His Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has a plan for the human race. So when we pray for our country, we are praying for revival to happen. Spiritual awakening, that's what revival means. We are praying for God consciousness to happen. We are praying that people should come into this fellowship. So when we are asked to pray, the words that we are speaking is the same word that God sees. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Pray for your leaders that you may lead careful and quiet life in all godliness. In case you don't know, ongoing now, there is a murder of all rally. And it's the murder of all Colorado. If you pass through that place, you probably understand what I'm saying. The things that you will be perceiving in, it's not the atmosphere of his presence. So we are called into a fellowship. And we must understand the import of this fellowship. We must live up to the responsibilities of this fellowship. We are not just saved to go to heaven. We are saved to serve God and his cause in our own generation. So, the word confession means, from the Bible stand, means affirming what God has said in his word. It is witnessing to what God's word has declared. It means testifying to truth revealed in the Bible. I said the word confession means affirming what God has said in his word. You are not there when it was written, but your faith made you to believe these are God's word to you. So you are affirming it. Each time you speak God's word, you are affirming what God has said. Secondly, you are witnessing to what God's word has declared. Because it is written, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Thirdly, you are testifying, because by the time you are speaking it and you believe it from your heart, evidence of your own profiting appears. So you are testifying to the truth, which is affirmed in his word. Fellowship with God, please note this, is the mother of faith. You can't say you know God without fellowship with him. And God has called us individually to fellowship with him. He has called us. There is that fellowship with his son. You must know him. He said that which have been spoken, 1 John 1:1. But he said that which we also see, we handle, we touched. So Christianity, 1 John 1:1, that's what I said. Christianity is the act of our confession or profession or making declaration of what God has said. So confession in the Greek means homologia, which means to assent, to make as regard to this covenant. Because Old Testament, New Testament, they are covenant, relationship of God with man. It means to acknowledge. It means to confess it. It means to profess it. It means to give thanks about it. It means speaking the same way as God has said it. One of the things you will discover from the scripture in this fellowship is Luke 10:19. If we pick Luke 10:19, for example, Jesus says, behold. So you have to see it. You have to embrace it. You have to see it as something that has been given to you personally. And you must testify to it. You must affirm it. You must confess it. He said, I give you the authority. I give you. I'm not about to withdraw it. I give you the authority to trample, not to negotiate, and not to parley, to trample. Someone who tramples does not regard another person's feeling. Someone who tramples is affirming something. Someone who tramples is making a statement, is making an impression. If you are into construction in a city like Lagos, you understand it. The first day you dig, some people show up and they trample. They tell you no block enters anywhere anymore. They tell you they are the owner of the land. So they are exercising their authority. And that authority is like exousia, because if you want to argue with them, they say, come and meet Baale. So I give you the authority to trample on serpent and scorpion. You can call them witches, you can call them wizards, you can call them whatever you want, choose to call them in whatever culture. That's why the Bible says, and scorpion, you can call them. And then it says it, and overall, all the power of the enemy. We know the enemy is the devil. We know he's the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God day and night. But we know that God has given us his son. He has called us into the fellowship of his son. He said, when you trample, you exercise your authority. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is the word of God. It is written. It cannot be unwritten. But you and I must testify to that truth. You and I must affirm that truth. You and I must confess this truth for us to see the reality of it. Can I have an amen this morning? I'm just building up. So the word confession is affirming what God has said. So God has said this in his word. The word confession is witnessing to that word. So when I'm faced with situations and circumstances that has in this category, I speak the word. I speak the word. And when I speak the word, what I'm doing at that time is that I'm testifying to this truth. And the devil has no option but to obey. Can I have an amen? So the word confession, that's what it is. And the Bible says we should hold fast. Hebrews 10:23. So as a Christian, you must learn to hold fast. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We know God is coming true for us in our nation. We know 2023 is a decisive nation year for us. He said, we must hold on to our confession without wavering. Why? The one who promised is faithful. So, one thing about confession is that we hold fast. The other thing, which is another element, is revealed in Titus 3:8. We affirm those things that has been revealed to us. Titus 3:8. He said, this is a faithful saying, and this thing I want to affirm. So we affirm it constantly. We pick an area. I will ask someone to just pick an area, and we look at what God's word says. I believe we still have time to do that this morning. So we affirm it. You see, for example, if we pick divine healing, a lot of people think that it is when sickness touches their body, that's when they should ask God for healing. No, it's not too late, but hey, you must be proactive. You don't have to be sick to declare every morning when you wake up, by whose stripes I am healed. This day, my bones is working well. This day, my heart, that's confession that I'm making, my heart is beating well. This day, I walk through without any germs, maybe in the atmosphere, but he says to me, with long life, he satisfied me and showed me. His work, confession is work. A confession is not when something happens and then you are saying, say after me. It's like warfare. Your mind is against it. Your body is against it. But you are affirming it because that's what God has said. You do that concerning your finances. You do that concerning your business. God surround me with favor as a shield. It does not matter what the exchange rate is at the moment. I profit, so I must order. And God begins, when your spirit man opens like that, it begins to show you how to go about your own space or in your own business. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So confession is not Eastern religion philosophy. That's why people run away from it. Confession is saying what God has said in his word about certain things that touches your spirit, soul, and body. And there are many things. Jesus gave us an insight into it. Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom, in stature. He found favor with God and with men. So things that touches your spirit, soul, and body. Healing touches your body. Renewal of minds touches your soul. Authority, exercising your authority touches your spirit. So, and there are things God has said. So, in the order of Jesus, we must increase in wisdom. We must increase in stature. We must continue to walk in favor with God and with men. We know the result when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 also talks about it, that our whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing touches your body, nothing touches your soul, nothing touches your spirit. But you have to affirm what God has said along this area. What are the key elements in confession? What are the key elements? I think it was last Sunday or last week, Friday, someone gave a testimony here and said that he had the word of God, and then he keyed into that word, and then the situation around him was contrary, and he had to affirm it. Affirm it. Affirm it. That's what you do. This job is mine. I've passed through this stage. And before agreeing with God and then speaking it and testifying to that truth, there was a turnaround. There was another email. He could have just resigned to faith. Oh, things like this happen in our world. I mean, it's a natural world. Somebody can like you and doesn't like you again. No, no, no. You have to be able to affirm it. What are the key elements when it comes to confession? Number one, you agree with God. You agree with God. Agreeing with God is key. In Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, it talks about it. Your delight must be in his law. And on his law, you meditate, you agree with God. You meditate day and night. You observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So number one, key element, agreeing with God. Number two, saying what God has said in his word. Mark 11:23. You say what God has said. Symptoms may be there trying to touch your body, but you say what God has said. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, say about four times in that verse, you say it, you say it, you say it, you say it, you say it. People may help you to say it, but you also have to agree with them in saying it. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When it comes to the subject of healing, you know, you have to ask the person you want to pray for, do you believe Jesus can heal? If the person says no, there is nothing you can do. Brothers, sisters, there has to be an agreement. There has to be an agreement. You want to do something, exercising your authority, you need that faith of that other person to cooperate with you. If they are not cooperating with you, there is nothing you can do. Except if we subject that to overall sovereignty of God. But the truth is that even if people are saying it on your behalf, you must agree with them. Can God heal? Yes. Does he still heal today? Yes. Will he still heal tomorrow? Yes. His word says it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have to agree with that. When you are agreeing with God, it's not head. It's not mental accent. It's heart. He said, for the heart. Mark 11:24. He said, with the heart. No, not Mark. I think that's Romans 10 what? Eh? Can we do Romans 10? Let's quickly read that. Romans 10, that's not Mark 11, 24. Talks about 10 from 12, 13. Can we do from 12, 13? 9, 10, 8. Sorry, thank you. He said, what does this say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So can you see our confession? Heart, mouth, heart, mouth, heart, mouth, heart, mouth. That is the word of faith, not the word of doubt, not the word of unbelief, the word of faith, faith in the sovereign God. God is committed to his word. We are holding fast to what God has said. He said that is the word. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what this is simply say, everything that Jesus has done for us at redemption is ours. That's what this is simply saying. He said, for with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth, confession is made unto deliverance. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto prosperity. That's what salvation means. The word zozo, deliverance and completeness from sin, from sickness, from poverty. Can I have an amen this morning? Please go over this message over and over again. So the other key element, number one, agreeing with God, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Number two, saying what God has said in his word, Mark 11, 23, maybe 24. And then third element is hold fast. You need to hold fast. Hold fast to what God has said. In Job chapter 14, 14, Job asked a question. If a man dies, shall he live again? He said, all the days of my heart service, I will wait till my change comes. That's a man who is tenacious. Who is tenacious? I understand that when bulldogs, when they bite, because of the way they are, they have a way of twisting them so that they can breathe. They hold on. A bulldog can hold on to the bones. Just like a stamp, we hold on to a letter until it gets its desired destination. So it's very important. It's very important that the day we live in, we must understand this principle. And then number four element is affirming God's word unto the desire in your heart and promises in the word comes to pass. You affirm it. You affirm it. You affirm it. I know people who have affirmed it 6 months to live and they are still here years after. When you are affirming it, circumstances say it's not going to work. People talk and talk you out of it, but refuse to be talked out of it. Challenges. People say, when somebody is sick, please, if you have symptoms of any sickness in your body as a believer, it's not the time to be telling everybody. Some people at that time, I don't know how it happened, there will be testimony. I know a uncle who died of this. I know sister. It's just a matter of time. Just live well. Mm-mm. Don't be talked out of it. Don't be talked out of it. I know someone who had doctor's report. And he just told his wife that he's going. He didn't even tell his wife. Not that his wife would negate it. No. He just locked himself up for 3 days. It's just affirm these things. Affirm what God has said. Affirm what God has said. Affirm what God. And then he affirmed it. He testified to it. And when he didn't testify immediately, he affirmed it. After 2 weeks, he went back to the doctor and they conducted all the tests. And there was no trace. That was when he now testified. Did you get me? Depending on the environment that you have. But hey, if you know that thing will cut through people's heart, maybe it's not the best time to share it. Maybe it's a time to dwell on the word. Maybe it's a time. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. And let me also balance it for you. While you are doing that, let your doctor be doing this. You'll get, maybe you have to measure something after two weeks. You can go measure it. But hey, your confession is from your heart. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement that brought me shalom has been laid upon him. By whose stripes you are healed. Confession out of that, if I were healed, I am healed. two keys, aspect of this confession. Number one, aspect of it. Learn to meditate. And then speak the blessings of God in His word. You must learn to meditate. We can't leave it to chance. We cannot. I can give you a catalog of testimonies of issues in my own life. What does the word of God say about those issues? That's how to start meditation. What does the word say? So you probably run. If you don't have a concordance, you can do. Google is our friend now. Abi? Biblical scriptures on healing. You'll be amazed what Google will bring. I didn't say scriptures of healing, because you can delve into things you don't want to see. Biblical scriptures on healing, it brings them out. Biblical scriptures on prosperity, it brings them out. Biblical scripture on financial management, it brings them out for you. Biblical scriptures on revival, it brings out all for you. Biblical scriptures on parenting, it brings them out for you. So when you have it, then you do what I call scriptural comparisons. The Bible talks about something. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word establish. That comparison means, are there other places in the scriptures? It said, two shall agree. So if you have other places, it's a very place to build your faith. I read a scripture so many years ago. It's in Isaiah 52. If you want to do a little bit on healing, not because you are, and that's where we believers mean it, we wait until life happens. No. Isaiah 52, you read the whole thing about Jesus. And then 53 now tells you what he did. There was an exchange. And it's an exchange that stands forever. As regards sin, as regards sickness, as regards poverty, there is nothing that can upturn it. If you and I are not taking advantage of it, it's because we have not beheld it. It must leap up from the pages of the Bible, leap up to your spirit man. And that's why I say it's work. A lot of people, they explain it away. When I'm not a pastor, you don't have to be a pastor. You can be a savior to someone. You can be the light in someone's darkness. If you know about the subject of healing, you can help people in our world. Even if you don't need healing for yourself, praise God. I said, praise God. And God is not a respecter of person. He says to the believer, they shall lay hands. He didn't say the ministry gave. He said to the believer, they shall lay hands on the sick. And then the believer has the responsibility to teach the sick, because it's the sick who has that responsibility to recover. Did you get it? So if I want to minister healing, I have to go through scriptures with you. We have to have a basis for agreement. And then by faith, we lay hands on the sick. And by faith, the sick also make up their mind to recover. Can I have an amen this morning? For those of us in the medical people, in medical field, they will tell you, when a patient loses hope, that is like a downward trend in their health. And it's just a matter of time they passed on. But you see some patients, I'm privileged to have doctors as friends. He said sometimes a patient is doing good in the natural. Maybe one negative thing just happened, words and all that. And the patient begin to confess on themselves. And then before they know it. Whereas there are other patients who it's just marking time. But they recover. This is science research so many years ago. There were people, they took 10 people. 5 had cancer, terminal cancer. 5 doesn't have anything. At all. They told the ones that have cancer that they don't have cancer. The ones that don't have cancer, they told them that they had something that they are suspecting. So they began, those who didn't have, began to say to them, who had, began to say to themselves, I am well. I am well. I am well. They told them they had cancer, but it's not unto death. I am well. I am well. And they began to declare it. The ones who didn't have, they told them the same thing that they didn't have, but they began to say, they said, but peradventure, they started having this kind of symptom, is already aggravating. Those, they began to look for what is not lost. They were beginning to look for those symptoms, and it was a matter of time. That's how the mind works. But the Bible doesn't talk about the mind like that. It talks about the spirit. The spirit of man will sustain him in his own infirmities. Can I have an amen this morning? So this confession thing is something that we must all learn to do. So meditating and speaking the blessings of God is key. Meditating and speaking the blessings of God is key. I drive through some neighborhood in our city. I declare the prosperity of God into those neighborhoods. That's why all this funny campaign, we build road, we build hospital, doesn't sell with me. There's nothing else you must do. People are suffering in our nation. So when I drive through certain neighborhood, I speak to the principalities and power there. The spirit of poverty, your hold is broken. There are people in certain neighborhood, there's no life in it. They were born in that same house. They got married, they are still living in that same house. They said their parents want them to live together. That's mutual poverty. There's no life there. They say it's our family house. You should build a greater one than that. The same room that somebody has been raised up, that's the same room you brought a new wife into. No. Life is progressive. Life is progressive. And you must see from God's word. He said, Psalm 71, verse 21, he will increase your greatness and then comfort you on every side. With long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. He will bless the work of your hand. His beauty and his glory. These are promises of God. We can go on and on. And you don't have to wait till challenges. These are things you speak to yourself every morning. Sometimes I'm driving. As soon as I step out of my house, somebody say, oh, you are foolish, you are mad. I just recline immediately. This is the day that the Lord has made. I bind the spirit that runs in children of disobedience. He said, no dog shall wag his teeth against an Israelite. These scriptures just come. And then you speak it and take charge of the atmosphere. I enter into this place. I am a man of favor. I am a woman of favor. You make such declaration. You get to the office. Your boss says, you are not right. You are not right. Enter into the bathroom and say, the Lord made this house to prosper because I work here. The devil doesn't come out, forget Nollywood, Hollywood, with those black, it comes, sometimes he speaks through people. He speaks at meetings. Whoever yield himself to the devil, he speaks through them. And sometimes they talk down, and then he takes your confidence, your creativity. You must learn to speak the word of the Lord over yourself. And I have an amen. Amen. So it's when we learn. That's why your personal Bible study, you can't joke with it. You learn to meditate. You keep looking at it. And sometimes it's a word within that passage that jumps at you. And then you have other references. And then you are loaded with it. When situation drops, I don't panic. I don't panic because the situation doesn't demand that we should panic. I say, Lord, what are you saying here? And usually, a scripture pop up. And that sustained me through that season. Sometimes, I don't even know how to pray at that season. And that's the truth. When you are overwhelmed, you don't have words for prayers. The best you can do is that when you speak in tongues, the Bible says, with sighs that cannot be articulated. That's what tongue can deliver to you. And then there may be bubbling, and then you get clarity. But the truth is that to give yourself to prayer when situation heals, it may just be that you are praying out of anxiety. And that's why you keep saying the same thing. Sometimes people say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. As if the more you say it, the more power is generated. No, only once is good. Only once is good. When you understand the power behind that name, before life hits, only once is good. Praise God. Some people may not agree with that. You know, we do that even in prayer. Say the blood of Jesus. As if the more you say it, fresh supply comes. No. No. Brother, sister, let's exercise our authority. So there is benefit in meditating, learning to meditate. It brings on the blessings of God. Please, listen carefully. Listen carefully. All failure in the Christian life can be found in what is being said at the moment life happens. All failures in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, will be found. That's the trigger point. Your reaction when things happen. Your reaction. Someone was involved in an accident once. And then the car started to somersault. And some people say, oh, motigbe, oh, motiku, ori yamio, and all that. And he said what he was saying, I shall not die, but live to declare. So the car somersaulted many times. There were 5 people there. He was the only one who survived. Every other person who said, motigbe, ori yamio, moku, inikon, that's what my second point we say. What you say, it matters. It matters. So, my second point is that confession precedes actual possession. Your confession will precede your possession. Numbers 14:28. Please never forget this true scripture, Joshua 1:8, that I quoted earlier on, that we must learn to meditate and speak only the blessings of God over our lives. And we will see it because the truth of God is eternal. But also this one, your confession, it matters. Says to them, this is God says, talking, said, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing. I've had opportunity to be at people who pass. You know, the moment says, oh, let me just go. It's a matter of days, sometimes matter of hours. Or somebody say, I think I've tried. I don't want to bother you anymore. Let me just go home. They go. Somebody says, oh, they want to keep this. In fact, there was someone who passed. They said that his heart, medically, the body was cold, everything, but his heart was still breathing. They had to pray that the heart should stop breathing so that they can pack him up. That's how much Zoe have worked in that person's body. Medically, the organs, everything, but the heart was still beating. They have to now do prayer meeting that the heart should stop. So that, because they already told them that it was living. Please understand confession. You see, confession precedes possession. Or you can say it this way, possession follows confession. Or another way, faith confession creates realities. Faith confession. Possession follows confession. Confession precedes possession. Or faith confessions create realities. Please, I encourage you today. How do you start? If you go through the New Testament, each time you read it, please always take note of the expressions like this. In Him. In Christ. And in whom? These scriptures tells us what belongs to us in Christ. And that's what we need to be speaking. You know when people say Ori Yamio, and I wonder, because there's nothing like that in the scriptures. In him I have redemption, the forgiveness of my sin, according to the riches of his glory. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. My God supplies all of my need according to his riches in glory by or in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By my God, I run through truths. By my God, I leap over walls. It's not by power, it's not by mind, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we must learn. We must learn. Can someone just mention an area of life? Let's see what the scripture says about that area. Anyone? Anyone? You want to mention an area of life? Let's just look at what the scripture says about that area. Anyone? Business, Isaiah 48, 17. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. I can go on and on, but let's just read those two things. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Thank you, Lord, for Nutri Africa. You are the senior partner in this business. You will teach me to profit. But at this time, we are experiencing confusion. It's not enough. Things are not. There is a higher standard. So, Lord, turnover rate. But, Lord, I look up to you because you are the Lord God, my Redeemer. So, teach me to profit. What must I do to move this team forward? What must I do to move this world forward? What must I do to navigate? You know, when you say things like that, the Holy Spirit set your heart to receive. It's different from, why is our home like this? So, if that is not enough, you said in your word, you will instruct me and teach me. So, my heart is open. My ears are open to listen to your instruction. And then, you can do Psalm 5 verse 12. You have also said in your word that you will surround the righteous. It doesn't matter what my competitors are doing. I lean into you. You bless the righteous. With favor, you surround him with a shield. Psalm 90, verse 16. I think 16. Is it 14 or 16? Let's look at it. Can we go back to 14? Lord, I mean, this is October. I thank you for all that you have done, January to September. But Lord, satisfy me early. So October may be your beginning of the new year. That's what you are saying. I know you are committed to this company. So what you will do in the next 3 months, Lord, let us rejoice. And let our end of the year party be a time of rejoicing. And then you say, 15, 16, what does that say? Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted. January till September may not be as good. But hey, Lord, it's not good. We can't continue to see these things this way. 16 says, what? Let your word. See, by the time you meditate upon this thing, I believe under God, solutions will come. I believe under God, he will instruct you. Make that phone call. I believe under God, he will say things like this. Oh, you remember you submitted a proposal somewhere. You can just wake up one morning and say, why don't you give them a call? And the other, because you have done your homework, which is first in the spirit before the physical. A lot of people run around in the physical. Mm-mm. Yours, when we talked about favor, when we talk about mercy of God, it means you are running with precision. You are running with instruction. And the other person say, oh, where have you been? We've actually tried all your line. Can you see the devil's plot? You've been using that same line. And somebody say, we've been trying your line since. We even thought you were not using this. Can you come right now? Don't say you will come tomorrow, because that is an answer to prayer. So you can't afford to procrastinate. Hey, I'm somewhere, but I will be with you in 2 hours' time. a business person, Peter. He said, we have toiled all night. And we have caught nothing. He said, but nevertheless. So that negates whatever struggle, whatever hustles that has taken place. Nevertheless. And if God gives you a word concerning anything, he stays committed to it. He watches over his word to perform it. His word does not return. Just like all those clouds are gathered. And then rain falls, or rather, it just gathers and then return back to the water dries up and return. He doesn't. He watches over his word. He's committed to his word. Even when our faith can't carry it and we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And I have an amen this morning. Are you satisfied or we should just do more? Eh? Yeah. Yeah. Health? Health. Okay. Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53. Can we? What time? Okay. Isaiah 52 first. Isaiah 52, he said, awake, awake. Put on your strength. He's talking to the church. Put on your beautiful garment. Talking to the church. For the uncircumcised and the unclean are no longer. Sickness is unclean. And if you see it from that perspective, God is not an author of sickness. It's an unclean thing. It's called disease. Something that robs you of your ease. It's called affliction. Something that afflicts you. It afflicts body. It afflicts. I don't know any gospel you can preach to any sick person. The only gospel that says with a sick person is not business. It's health. It's health. People in hospital don't talk about business. Except if they are corrupt officials who pretended that they are sick. And so they are business accomplices. They go and meet them and they are talking business on a sick bed. They are not sick. Someone who has a pain in their hand, weak load, doesn't do strategic meeting. No, they don't. So if you go to the towards the last end of that scripture, what does it say? I want to say something. Towards the end, the last three verses, what does it say? Isaiah 52. What I'm looking for is his face was mad beyond recognition. Let's do Isaiah 53. Let's do Isaiah 53. Yeah, 52, yeah. He said, just as many were astonished at you, he said, so his visage was mad more than any man. This is what happened to me as an individual. I mentally picture, whether it is Nollywood that acted that, or Hollywood, whether it's Jesus' film, or what's the other film that man acted, Passion for Christ. What I picture most of the time when it comes to subject of healing, is how the image of Jesus was marred beyond recognition. He couldn't have done that in vain. And he couldn't have done that. He couldn't have done that to his body. It was the devil who orchestrated those people. That's why another scripture that jumps in my heart is that if they had known that the outcome of that experience will bring deliverance to humanity, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have looked for another way to kill him. He said his image was marked more than any man, and he swore more than the sons of men. Next verse. No next verse. It's finished. Let's go to 53 now. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. That was what happened. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. And then who has believed our report? To whom the hand of the Lord been revealed? Let's go, because we're reading the whole line. He said, for you shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. That's the life of Jesus. He has no form or comeliness. And they said, this can't be. He can't be the Son of God. eating with wine, he's a wine babbler. This is not the savior we were expecting. The one we are expecting is to deal with Roman's government for us. He says, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire in him. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow. He did. Can you see now? Capital M. It means he's talking about a person. They could have just used English word. And lower caps M. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, with disease. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's this moment. Because God doesn't behold iniquity. He said, our faces, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, I understand you don't just use the word surely. You are certain about it. There is no controversy about it. Surely, he has borne. He has lambano. If you read Deuteronomy 28, you are talking about sickness. If you read Deuteronomy 28, you see the category of sicknesses. And the Bible also said in Deuteronomy 16, and the ones that are not written here in this book. So he took everything, our grief, and then our sorrows. Yet we didn't esteem him thinking because we don't behold him as our healer. In Exodus 15, 26, that's another scripture. It says, he is the Lord God, our personal physician. 23, 25, that's another scripture. You can write it down. You meditate on it. You see that sacrifice. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. That's why healing, most of the time, when people do crusades, in crusade, the person who is an atheist can get healed. Because it has been established. Healing is children's bread. So you just ring the bell. If an atmosphere is created, and people can jump into that water to get healed. I've seen a crusade before by Pastor Benny Hinn. The guy came out, he was healed of multiple sclerosis or whatever that thing is called. And you know what he said? They said, tell us about it. He said, I don't know why your God healed me. I am an atheist and I am still an atheist. They said, you don't believe in healing? He said, I don't. Yet, because he's the master of God based on what Jesus did. That's what healed people. It's an advertisement for non-believers. Because if you read, there's another scripture. I can't remember it now. It's my favorite scripture on healing. But yet, I mixed it up. Isaiah is in Isaiah. He said, there will come a time where none of the inhabitants of Zion shall say, I am sick. It's the last verse in that chapter. So he was wounded. By his stripes, we are healed. That is the prophecy of Isaiah. So when Jesus came on the scene to confirm this, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, can we quickly look at it? You can read the whole chapter. Time is gone. He said, when the evening had come, they brought to him, not some, many who were demon possessed, and he cast them out the spirit. So it must be that sickness has spirit behind them. Abi? And he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all. See, the mercy of the Lord from Old Testament is interested in healing. These people are not even, you can say, saved. But he healed all who were sick. He healed them so that something can be confirmed to principalities and power. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah 53. Saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Take my phone. He has taken my phone. He bought it. Do I still have it? Can I say I have a phone as I'm standing in front of you? He took and bore. He took and bore. He understands symptoms of cancer. He understands symptoms of fibroid. He understands symptoms of fibromyalgia, whatever. You know, there are all these diseases. So I said to people who are, I mean, one of the ways you can help yourself, one of the ways is not to personalize any sickness. My migraine, don't personalize it. It's not. Somebody stole it. Eh? So don't, somebody stole your wellness. All you have to say is take it back. And what do we encourage people when it comes to healing? Lift up your hand and thank him. It's not at that point that he's trying to figure out that he's going to heal you. Can I have an amen this morning? So Jesus came to fulfill it. Acts 10:38 is another scripture. Acts 10:38. This is a good teaching this morning. Acts 10:38. He said, how God anointed. There's one thing I want to know you to know about this scripture. God can't be the one who puts sickness and at the same time want to heal. That would be contrary to his nature. I mean, how many of us here, your boy, you said after service today, Jeremiah, I heard you didn't stay at the children's church. You were disturbing everybody. So take migraine for your punishment. Nobody does that. He said, men who are evil know how to give what? Good gift. Good gift. You see, these are mindsets around the world that you need to create. God is not an author of it. God carried it on my behalf through Jesus. I have no business in carrying it. If the symptoms want to ravage my body, I need to confess what God has said about that. He said, he went about doing good. I don't think sickness is good. If you have nurtured sick people before, you know that it's not good. You have to calculate your time. You can't go out every time. You have to calculate the time. Even when you go out, you have to come back very early. If you have not, depending on the degree of sickness, some people you can't even leave them to themselves. Ha! The devil is a bad devil. He said, who were oppressed? So, sickness is an oppression by the devil for God. By the devil, that's what I see. He said, but Jesus was anointed to heal. Hebrews 13:8 is another one. No, before Hebrews 13:8, let's do 1 Peter 2:24, 23:24. 1 Peter 2:23-24. He said, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to the one who judged righteously. He said, who himself. We can go on that. Who himself bore our sins in his own body. It's very easy for people to believe their sins are forgiven, but that their bodies are healed. A lot of believers have challenges with that. But the truth is that the same blood that was shed for the remission of our sins was shed for the healing of our bodies, was shed for the prosperity of our soul. So prosperity is not the teaching of Pentecostals. It's the teaching of God. He said, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that you prosper and be in health. That's another scripture on healing. And be in health, even as your soul prosper. So when you have bodily prosperity and soul prosperity, it makes a whole world of difference. He said, by whose stripes you are healed. Last one, Hebrews 13:8. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father, I pray for everyone, whoever is sick in their body this morning, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare health to you. I declare wholeness in your bones, in your marrow, in your mind, in your body. Wholeness to you. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement that brought you peace has been laid upon him. And by his stripes, you are healed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,